We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
In one of our districts right now, there's this one apostolic-minded pastor. So he's identified three or four lay leaders in these little outposts that are about anywhere from 30 to 75 miles away from him. So we start talking. He says, you know, do you think maybe I could just to train them to celebrate the supper or baptize when they need it or lead them in worship? Do you think I could drive and go do that all the time? And don't you think if I could get our elders, you know, here to agree to that kind of model, do you think that I could give them a little bit of the authority that the church has given to me? I could give them the authority, and they're going to be under my authority. We're going to work together. But you think I could do that? And if the elders nodded yes, do you think that it has to be 30 or 50 miles away? What if it's like 3 miles away or 3 blocks away?
It's Pastor Bill Woldsley of Crosspoint Church in Katy, Texas. He's founding leader and president of 5-2, a church planting organization down there in Texas, speaking at 5-2's Wiki conference recently, talking about how at least one pastor he knows plans to plant new churches. Well, I got lay leaders. I'll just train them to do what I do. It'll be under my authority, but they'll do it. And it's, you know, it's too far to drive for me to go do that. So that's why I need to train these lay leaders. But it turns out it's okay to do that even when it isn't too far to drive, when it's only 3 blocks away, not 30 miles away. Is this the way that Lutherans plant churches or ought to plant churches? Lutherans know how to plant churches. There was a day when the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod was planting new churches every day, literally every day in its heyday. So we know how to do it. Is that the way to do it? How do we plant churches where we go into communities, we actually, as they say in the parlance, meet people where they are and remain distinctively Lutheran, faithful to Scripture and the confessions? That's a great question. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Steve Chabe will be with us for the next half hour or so of the program. We'll talk about church planting the Lutheran way. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's a simple game we like to play with our listeners every Friday as often as we can. We'll play 4 soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We play them 1, 2, 3, 4. Then all you got to do is listen and then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your votes will decide which one will be Soundbite of the Week, and it will be your opportunity, if you have the best vote, to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. One of those and only one of those goes to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to talk about church planting, Pastor Steve Chabe. He's Director of Urban and Inner City Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Steve, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me, Pastor Wilkin.
You got a little experience yourself in church planting. What is it?
I actually went through a special program when I was at the Fort Wayne Seminary. It was a mission formation track, and the purpose was to assist with church mission development. So it was a program that worked with, at that time, North American missions and our districts to train up, to find pastors who would then go on to help to start congregations. So my congregation that we planted was through a mother church, and I was called to be their mission developer. And then also, as a vice president for a region in one of our districts, I did have some oversight as well in church planting.
Now, when we hear church planting, often people think, and this is kind of the way that it's usually conceived of, I think. You've got a well-established congregation someplace. They see maybe out in the suburbs or on the edge of the suburbs, land is cheap, people are coming, the developers are putting up their signs. They say, let's get in on this. We'll start a church. And then 20 years later, that church is doing the same. Is that the only form of church planting we're going to be talking about?
Well, certainly church planting is wherever the gospel is not present. And for me, I was sent to the middle of Georgia where there was absolutely no Lutheran presence. It was completely a blank slate. And for me, I think that was what was more important, is to bring a Lutheran presence into that community that was based on our beliefs and our practices, and again, what we thought would be missing if we weren't there.
There are two elements to this that I'd like to kind of take in their natural sequence. The first is church, and the second is planting, if you don't mind, Steve.
Sure.
How important is it that we get the definition of church? What comprises a church biblically before we start doing the planting?
Well, actually, we did, with our core group, spend quite a bit of time, you know, if we were going to go about this, and again, if we were going to be responsible for generations to come, perhaps, of this being the first Lutheran presence in a community, we wanted to go based on what is the Lutheran Church. So I did spend quite a bit of time going through the Small Catechism, going through Luther's on the council and the church regarding what he considered to be the seven primary marks of what is it to be church. And, you know, I can't think of a better way to establish a Lutheran church than on what Luther himself said and defined the church as.
So what is the definition, what's the basic Lutheran, therefore biblical definition of the church?
Well, he talks about the church, you know, in the sense of being that assembly of people who gather together, and that they're a holy people. And then he basically steps through, what is it that makes this assembly holy? What is it that makes them church? And he defines it based on these marks that will be there, where the Holy Spirit is working to sanctify his people, this holy Christendom, or as we might call it, what is it that makes us God's people?
One of the things that I find troubling about when Lutherans basically ape the evangelical model of church planting, they see how evangelicals do it, and then they just kind of copy it, monkey see, monkey do. One of the things I find disturbing there is often the definition of church gets modified, and very often, most often, the definition of pastor gets modified. What are your thoughts there, Steve?
Well, Luther, again, he certainly speaks to that the holy people of God will have his word. The holy people of God will have the cross. They will be made holy by these means of grace that are distinctly Lutheran, our understanding of what it is to have the sacrament of baptism and the altar. He does speak also about the one who will be called by the congregation for the office of the keys to be exercised publicly, and then also that someone will be rightly consecrated and called to be the minister, as we know from our confessions.
That kind of raises the question that we heard from Pastor Bill Wolseley in the open there, where he kind of speaks hypothetically, kind of in lots of what ifs, and wonder. One, I do have to wonder personally how much what is there in all the what ifs, but kind of taking someone who seems to be kind of pastorish already in a little community someplace and saying, well, he's not ordained, but he's going to preach. He's going to get the proper training. He's going to preach. He's going to administer the sacraments, all under the authority of some pastor, maybe just one pastor. Is this the kind of thing a congregation does where they say, we're just going to do this under our personal authority without respect to what the rest of our fellowship has to say?
Well, certainly for me, there was something while I was at the seminary that, based on my background, identified with the people that were in charge of the mission formation program, that you know, basically this would be someone who could bring together this community of God's people. You know, for me, being from Ohio and going to Georgia, obviously I wasn't familiar with the territory, but what was more important is that I had the proper training that, again, the district working with the seminary, working with North American missions, to have somebody that was trained up. It was very important when I hit the ground and I was going to be ministering to people who, again, had never had contact with a Lutheran pastor, that I was ready for this. And, you know, I felt very equipped based on my theological training and then also specifically for mission formation.
So one more question on the nature of the church here. Should we be satisfied with kind of a legal definition of church? That is, they got someone they regard as a pastor. He may not actually be one, but they may think of him as a pastor. You got, at least one or two people, and maybe you have a set of bylaws and a constitution. Is any of that sufficient to say we're planting churches?
Well, certainly, if you go to Luther once more, this isn't a legal definition or political position. What he defines as being church is straight out of the scriptures. So we certainly understand church based on our biblical and theological understanding of what the church is and what are these signs that identify. What does the life of the church look like in view of what scripture tells us? So Luther certainly does speak in a biblical sense, in a creedal sense of what it is to be the church.
Now we turn to the term planting.
Mm-hmm.
What is the seed, if we're using this analogy of planting seeds, and it's a thoroughly biblical one?
Mm-hmm.
I planted, Apollos watered. That's the way the apostle describes it. What is the seed that actually gets planted from which a church grows?
Certainly, it is the Word of God. And when you think about revitalization of an entire church body, and when you're planting the Word of God in this new terrain, that is what will cause the growth or revitalization of the church is the good news. It is the Word of God. It is the proclamation and all of the fullness therein of the law and the gospel, proclamation of calling people to repentance, and then also the sweet news of the gospel and offering of forgiveness. I would say also, as Luther describes in his Marks of the Church, he says that we will be recognized by being people of prayer and giving thanks. We will be recognized also in that we are merciful and show love to our neighbor. And so certainly we also, with this proclamation, are in the community. Certainly the divine service is the central location where we find church. You know, it's there at the altar, it's there at the font and the pulpit, and also God's people are working through his love and mercy in community around them.
So we can't have one without the other. We can't have the soup kitchen and call it a community, churchish community, without a real living congregation, pastor and people gathered around the word and sacraments.
Yeah, the most basic definition would be that you do have a shepherd and a flock, and certainly we are not just a social agency, but all that we do in terms of witness and mercy in our community is connected back to our word and sacrament, and certainly that is what I found to be true where we were in Georgia.
Pastor Steve Shave is our guest. He's director of Urban Inner City Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about church planting with him on this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana; Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota; Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado; Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri; and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Hey, we got to reach these swingers for Jesus, so we're going to swing with them and reach them where they're at. Same logic as megachurch pastors, just a different context.
The birth of the first child, the adoption of the first child, those things made it abundantly clear that there was just a huge, big, gaping hole in objectivist theory and in libertarian theory.
When Jesus becomes the means to an end in my thinking and my theology, this turns Jesus from a person into a vitamin.
If we're getting up there to preach Christ and Him crucified and resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins, if that is truly why we're speaking, then law and gospel is how that happens.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play an Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, just a taste there of the four soundbites we'll play for you. Then you listen, you give us a call, send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Your chance to win the LPR bundle package. You'll go to one listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week live this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd. In the meantime, we're talking about church planting. Pastor Steve Shave is our guest director of Urban and Inner City Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. One of the things that I think is probably gets lost in the shuffle with the enthusiasm for planting churches, at least among Lutherans, it often gets lost in the shuffle, is that this effort be what you call distinctly Lutheran. What do you mean by that? It has to mean more than just the pastor has a degree from a Lutheran institution or that the church puts Lutheran on the sign.
Most definitely. And if you think again of a blank slate where there are other churches, where certainly there might be churches on every other corner, why is it a necessity for the Lutheran church to be there? And one of the things that I loved is we certainly did Mercy. We had a community center. We had a soup kitchen. My wife is a deaconess who helped to start a pregnancy center, all of these wonderful things. But when folks had contact with the church, and from the moment that they walked in, they saw Christ. And so when they saw the altar, when they saw the pulpit, when they saw the font, when they saw the cross that hung above all of it, when you know they heard a Lutheran hymn, when they heard the law and the gospel, you know, all these distinctions, you know, for many people, this idea of faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone, and then to hear a sermon that not only convicted them of their sin, but then to be freed from their sin, and to see this outreach even to the least of the brothers, where other people may not have tread, you know, to visit the prisoner, to go to the hospital, to be there at the nursing home with, you know, a person that has been basically written off by society. All these things were unique, I believe. All these things were the necessity that if this church had not been planted, you know, that was the thing that would be missing, was that distinct Lutheran identity.
So we're talking about, even if we were just to lay aside theological concerns here in church planting, from pure marketing standpoint, I believe you actually have some expertise in that as well. I think you probably earned an MBA, is that correct?
I have an executive MBA.
Okay. from a pure marketing standpoint, does it make any sense to you for a Lutheran church to plant a church that looks exactly like the big box church down the street, except, at least for the time being, smaller, to ape evangelicalism as a way of attracting people to their new church plant, from a marketing standpoint?
That's tough, but certainly, I had an entrepreneurial background, and I did help to begin organizations, and I certainly, and working with Fortune 500 companies as well, I certainly wouldn't recommend, if that is not your expertise, if that's not your area that you can excel, if it's not your, as we would say, you know, the core competencies, if you have something that is unique, that is, you know, precious to offer, you certainly would want to go with that rather than, as you said, just to mimic another organization.
Well, at the same time then, kind of speaking as pastor then, if you would, Pastor Shave, if someone says, a pastor or a congregation say, well, we don't want it to be distinctly Lutheran. Our Lutheran theology is kind of cramping our style. We want to do something new, something different from that. What would your suggestion be?
Well, and I guess, you know, I'm speaking also, I'm on the witness team, and we do have a convention resolution that we are to assist, we're to work hand-in-hand with congregations and with our district, and to support this making disciples through planting churches. And, of course, when we see this framework of what the life of the church is through witness and mercy and life together, it's not just something that is good for how you organize your things. You know, our Lutheran identity is just, just such a rich gift that we have to offer the world. And, you know, I was a hospital chaplain, and I had visits with, you know, a woman who had her legs amputated. I was there with the family after their loved one died in the car accident. I was there visiting prisoners. The one that strikes me the most, Todd, is when I had a visit with a woman who was in a nursing home, and everyone stopped visiting her, and she just felt totally abandoned. And again, Todd, what was so important to me as I realized my role in this community was that I had the message of Christ to give, not just a generic message, but this theology of the cross. I had the law and the gospel that was so rich, and I had hymns to sing, and I had a message that truly was transformative. And just to deny the community of this, I think would have been a shame. But to, again, have that rich theological heritage and also our confession was so abundant, and God truly blessed it. And I couldn't have asked for a better, more unified group of people who truly understood what our purpose was, what our mission was, and that we were to go into the community with this confession and to reach out to those who are lost and broken that needed Christ.
Talk about the nuts and bolts process by which that all came about in your experience with church planting.
Sure. We had, again, one of the effective ways, as you kind of brought up before, is to have a mother church that daughters a congregation and give support and working through the district. And there was also a mechanism, and that's one of the things that I've been working with here at the Synod in terms of working through the seminaries and working with our districts to raise up church planters and to offer support and the seed money and all the rest of it, and to truly start to look at the United States again as being the mission field, this domestic mission field, and all those, you know, things play a part in how we can do this and do it well, and then also to offer the training and the resources. So I did feel well prepared and equipped. And when we first got there, we reached out into the community, and you know, we publicized that, you know, we're going to be planting a Lutheran church. I did a lot of visiting with community leaders. I, you know, quickly became the ministerial association president and got all of our churches active in the work that we were doing in mercy and witness. That I think was truly a good transformation for many in our community. And so we spent a great deal of time working with this core group of people to prepare them for this confession of and witness and reaching out in mercy. And kind of the nuts and bolts then was to love our neighbor and to come together with this shared understanding of what it will be when we are the Lutheran Church in this place.
One of the things that I wanted you to discuss is, and you touched upon it early in our conversation, the theological training. In the non-denominational kind of pop evangelical model, quite honestly, theological training for church planters is secondary. It's not overlooked entirely, but it can be secondary or even tertiary, whereas kind of personal charisma, ability to gather a group around oneself, maybe some other skills. Sometimes it's just the praise band leader from a previous church who decides that he's fed up and wants to go start his new church. He doesn't need any kind of theological training other than that, you know, he has more training in music than he does in theology. Why is it vital that those who plant our churches and occupy them, both in the pulpit and in the pews, have the best, the absolute best, not a quickie training course, but the absolute very best the church can offer them?
Yeah, again, I truly appreciated my understanding of what mission means, what it is from a historical perspective, what it was from a theological and practical, all the things that prepared me. What I thought was interesting, again, working with our ministerial association, I actually had one of my brother's pastors there. He was a Baptist pastor, and he approached me. He said, you know, you guys have this just rich, unifying confession. He said, when I have somebody that joins my congregation, the only thing I have to offer them is an offering envelope. And he said, tell me, how do you do this adult instruction? What is it about your Book of Concord and how you train people using your catechism? And so that was interesting to me, that he saw that there was something beyond just we're a societal group, but that there is something that binds us together as Lutherans. And he wanted to know more about how I went through this education and how we bring others through, you know, this amazing evangelistic tool that we call the small catechism to bring people into fellowship with us.
So to summarize all of this in the last few minutes that we have, Pastor Shave, what are we talking about? The need to hit these three, if you would, the need for church planting, the need for that kind of mission, and the need for it to be distinctly Lutheran, with about a minute and a half.
Not a lot of time, but certainly we realize that all of our mainline denomination congregations are struggling and declining, and part of the life of the church has always been to bring in new life through planting churches. The need is there because, again, we are the third largest mission field in the world. We have 80% of our population that's moving into the city. We have tens of millions of people that are immigrating into our country. So within a couple minutes, we have hundreds of people groups that are near our churches that have never been reached with the gospel. So the need is certainly there. The opportunity is certainly there. And what we have to offer through word and sacrament ministry, through long gospel proclamation of God's word, this abundant understanding of what it is to be merciful and to show love to our neighbors in a Lutheran way and to give them true comfort and saving grace through how we understand God working through his means. That again, is what I think is so vital, is that we are there in our communities, that we are planting churches in fertile field, and then also that we do it in a distinctly Lutheran way because it is so abundantly rich.
Pastor Steve Shave is Director of Urban and Intercity Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Steve, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for being our guest.
Well, thanks for having me.
A couple of thoughts on this. You know, this occurred to me years ago, that every church supports a missionary. Every church does. Directly. They just happen to call him pastor. A man who's been given the very best training he can possibly get under the circumstances, and who is recognized not just by that little group of people, they think of him as pastor, but is recognized by the church, the whole church, as having been called and rightly placed into that office. You can call him a missionary, you can call him a pastor, call him whatever you want, but that's what it is. Every church is a mission. We used to understand this. Every church is a mission, even one that's been sitting on the same corner in the same town for 150 years. It's still a mission. And that pastor's still a missionary. That means that missionaries don't do anything any different than what, and congregations and missions don't do anything any different than what any other congregation does. The same thing that Christ has been doing through his church, through his pastors and people since his ascension, making disciples by baptizing and teaching, preaching the word in both God's law and God's gospel, administering those sacraments by which disciples are made and fed and strengthened day by day in the forgiveness of sins of Jesus Christ. Now, if your Lutheran theology is an obstacle to what you want to do by way of missions, if your Lutheran theology is holding you back, getting in your way, cramping your style from doing the new thing you want to do, well, either the new thing you want to do isn't Lutheran or you aren't. When we come back, we're going to play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week on this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd. 4 soundbites, we'll play them. You listen, then you vote. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
the 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.